Thank you for that hymn there. Beautiful prayer. Greetings to all of you, in Jesus' name. It's been very good to be here. Thank you for those words to us. Each one of your brothers shared. Just a lot of lessons there that we can get. The opening, the children's lesson there. Can't imagine how that was there at the Passover, too, can we? Not sure how to begin here. With all that we've heard, it's all these things have been going through my mind. Just sitting there and pondering what God is trying to tell me. The opening and think of the, as Brother Allen shared about Jesus and Moses being mighty in deed and word there. I guess my mind went to the glorious message that we have in Scripture, in the Bible, the New Testament, the glorious message that we had. It's a life-changing message. And we're not under that bondage how can we say? There's a freedom there. It's a life-changing message, but how has it affected our lives? How has it affected my life, or how is it affecting my life, this glorious message? I guess to begin here, my mind is like, I guess I would like to present to you a couple scenes here. In the beginning here, maybe we're shifting a bit from where we were, but this is what the Lord has laid on my heart last evening. Again, we're going to be looking at some elementary truths that we want to consider and ponder. This morning, my mind went to the Old Testament there, in many of those books and to the Kings. Probably specifically, it's more realized there. And it's throughout the Old Testament. Brother Zach gave one account of Joash starting right and ending in idolatry. We see the rise and fall of Israel with its kings, with its history. We see the rise and fall of serving God and doing His will. And there's a powerful testimony and witness that went forth from that. And then falling again to what the nations went after, idolatry and serving gods, small g, and idols. And did the very things that God told them not to. And we read these chapters and maybe we wonder why they did what they did. And I think of the familiar account of Saul. When Samuel came, Saul said, "I have performed the commandment of the Lord." And we think of that account and we think of Saul there when Samuel came and thinking that, you know, "I've done the commandments of the Lord." And we know the story and we know the outcome of that. Do we really think this morning that Saul believed what he said, that he really performed the commandment of the Lord? Was he really honest with himself, or was he maybe deceived in thinking that he did the right thing? So there's one scene for us. We move on into another scene. We look in today's world and what do we see? We see those in government positions not even professing the name of the Lord anymore. Some of them, maybe not all of them. We see the things that society is going towards, the whole gay, lesbian, transgender movement, witchcraft in various forms being practiced, and the list goes on. We see that scene in present-day society. The Bible is being attacked. Things being practiced contrary to the Word of God. Practices that God calls an abomination. Lying, cheating, divorce, remarriage, nakedness, entertainment in various forms. The world wants to press us in its mold. We heard that a few weeks ago. The world is not a friend of God. In fact, it's the enemy of God, as we read in James 4. So we have that scene. In today's world, we look around us in society and general population. Then we have another scene. And I want to be very careful in how and what I say here, because some of these things are real and they get real close. People in our circles are taking a step back. Authority structures are being challenged. Ministers are stepping down. Some have seemingly gave up all convictions. Some are embracing the things this world values. Some are looking to other things for fulfillment than the things of God. Bitterness has grown in some people's hearts, taken down the road that they didn't realize they would take. Love for each other has waxed cold. And there's more to this picture, but I think that's enough. Why do I say all this? Because we live in a real world and we are also real people. So we have those three scenes there, but I don't want to leave you with those three scenes. You know, we tell ourselves many times that our situations are all very unique. Our problems are special. My issues are different. But before we take our situations in our own hands, before we take our lives and protect ourselves with our own abilities and strength, let us turn to Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 4, I'm going to read there verses 1 through 6. I'm not going to make a lot of comments there. I'd just like to read them there. Zechariah chapter 4, reading through 1 through 6. The angel that talked with me came again and waked me. Obviously, Zechariah fell asleep. He was shown a couple different visions there, a couple different dreams. There were a couple different things that the Lord showed him there, and he must have fell asleep. And so the angel came to wake him, as he waketh as a man that is waken out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it. And his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof. And two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So he answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? And the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Zechariah is shown a picture of a golden candlestick. Where on the top there was a bowl, and each side of the bowl there was an olive tree with a pipe coming from those olive trees into the bowl. And it was the supply and the energy for the lamp, for the candlestick to burn. And seemingly a never ending supply there. And we just get a picture there, and I think we can this morning. We get a picture there of there's tremendous grace available. There's tremendous power and energy available pouring into that bowl for our lampsticks this morning. We're not going to make it by our own might. We're not going to make it by our own power. Humanly speaking, we're not going to make it. We must be under the divine influence of Almighty God in His Spirit, as He says here, nor by power, nor by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. I just wanted us to get that picture there this morning. This prince was in a trying situation. This was his answer. Not by might, whether his own or an army. Not by power, neither animal power or power of wealth or any other power. But God says to Zerubbabel that, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. What is all contained there, but by my Spirit? Here's a quote. But by my Spirit. What is all contained there? The providence, authority, power, energy of the Most High. In this way shall my temple be built. In this way shall my church be raised and preserved. No secular arm, no human prudence, no earthly policy, no suits of law shall ever be used for the founding, extension, and preservation of the church. By my Spirit, saith the Lord. End of quote. So we shall also not be preserved by our own futile efforts. Worldly ways will not preserve the church. They will not keep us. Even if we begun in the Spirit, we have to continue in the Spirit. Think of Galatians 3 there. So if our continuance is there, then our connection / attachment to the vine must be perpetual. I wanted to look at a few verses in John 15. Maybe we can turn there. We'll finish up there. John 15. These are all familiar verses, and these things have been talked about before. We know them well. But I think it's just good for us to reiterate some of these things. I need to be reminded. I'm human. I guess maybe this was more for me than you all. I just want to read verse 1 to 17. I'm just going to read through those things and then I have a few comments. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gathered them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Verse 1. He says, I'm the true vine. He wasn't any wild vine or anything out in the wild. He specifies that he was the true vine. Another word I want to bring out is abiding. Abide. It is to stay. It is to continue. It is to dwell. It is to endure. It gives a picture of a place of permanence, of dwelling, continuation. This must be our own dwelling place, our own personal dwelling place. We can't depend on somebody else's abiding. We can't depend on someone else's spiritual life. It has to be our own. And how many people are affected by it if I'm not dwelling at the feet of Jesus and seeking God? I know to begin with, my family is affected. People around me are affected. And I am for sure affected if I'm not abiding, connected to the rootstock. It is not a one-time done deal when I can go and then I can go and do whatever I want. You know, I think of the law of sowing and reaping. We're in the middle of that now, here in this area, where the seeds were sowed, and now we see the plants are coming up pretty beautifully, and you know, there's potential harvest. There's potential. You know, harvest time is coming, and you know, we don't know yet what that's going to look like or hold, but the potential is there. The yield looks good now, and the fruit looks hopeful. But there was a sowing that took place. There was a planting that the farmers did. They took their seed out in them big fields, and they put that thing in the ground. And whatever they put in the ground, that's what they're getting. They planted beans, that's what's coming up. That's what they're going to harvest. And if they planted corn, that's what they're going to harvest. And we know when you plant something, whatever it is, that's usually what comes up. Usually, all the time. So we can't expect oranges if we plant corn. We can't expect something else if we plant a certain type of seed. And the reaping will be, or the harvest will be, some will get 30, and some will get 60, and some will get 100-fold from that. And we praise the Lord for those numbers. You know, it's just like that. We think of when we pull an ear of corn off, we see the rows of kernels. Well, it only took one of those kernels to make that ear of corn. And usually a corn plant has 2 ears. Yeah, most generally has 2 years. So, you know, you get 100-fold from that. How would it be if you'd have a a corn cob with just one kernel on it. That wouldn't be very profitable, would it? You can hardly get a meal out of those things. The challenge this morning to us is making sure that we are sowing something that we want a tremendous increase from. There is going to be a harvest. And the question to me this morning is, what am I sowing? What kind of a seed am I sowing? Am I sowing carnality? Am I sowing foolishness? Am I sowing covetousness or bitterness? Am I sowing righteousness or godliness? Whatever I'm sowing, is it really what I want an increase from? I want 100 times as much of this thing that I'm sowing. You fill in the blank. But this is what happens if we choose or don't choose to dwell in the vine. There is going to be a harvest. There is a sowing, and there will be a harvest. Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." God wants fruit. "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." But in verse 2 again, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away." Verse 6, "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and man gathered them and cast them into a fire, and they are burned." If we were to go around the room here this morning and ask you what kind of fruit is coming from your life, what would you say? Some have given the illustration of if you were in our homeschool thing, we have a projector, Some gave that illustration where if your life or your heart was on an overhead projector, what's in there? But if we were going to go around this room and you would answer to the question of what kind of seed are you sowing? Then we would go around again and ask you all what's coming out of my life, or taking turns with each one of you. If a man abide not in me, you know, we are busy people. We are busy people. Life demands a lot from us. This world is pressing in. It wants to conform us into its image, and it wants to pressure us with its values, situations. But brothers and sisters, our life depends on this. We must be getting life from the rootstock. We must be connected. We must have that personal relationship. We must have that abiding. Be not deceived. It is obvious to others if I'm not living consistently. And do we think we can hide things from God? How is it this morning with us? We will not bear fruit except we abide in the vine. There is no other way. You know, we think it's foolish. You have a plant. I was thinking about bringing a plant this morning. And when we sever the line, when we sever the lifeline to any plant, take a branch off and just sever the lifeline, we know what will happen. And the effects of it are seen pretty almost right away in some of them, depending on what kind of plant it is. It starts drooping. It starts hanging its leaves. It starts wilting because it was severed from the lifeline. And that's no different with us. And there's some plants that will go a little bit longer before you see the effects of it.
But you will see the effects of it. They will come out in our lives. They will be revealed. We can maybe hide it for some time, but when we are not abiding, when we are not dwelling, God has not provided another way. There is no other way. This world does not have another way. This world has nothing to offer you that you want. But yet, we have a tendency to go and play around with those things and expect it to come out right. Sowing and reaping. Jesus asked for a continuation in His love. Jesus asked for a keeping of His commandments. And Jesus asked for a laying down of life. And Jesus asked us to be servants. And a lot of those things says if He didn't come, He didn't necessarily hold a big stick over us and say, you have to do this or else. He says, if you want to be My disciples, these will be some obvious evidences in your life. Jesus has chosen us. We get that in verse 16. Why did He choose us? That we should bring forth fruit. He chose us that we might be, yes, a special people to Himself. He chose us because He loved us. But He chose us that we might be a representation here upon earth for others and to others and for the lost people around us. And that our lives will be filled with fruit. There would be obvious evidences in our life that would display the very fact. Jesus has chosen us. Says, you have not chosen Me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. In this abiding in Jesus, in verse 11, there is fullness of joy. I don't know what all contains in that verse, and I don't know what it all contains in that in those words there. And I don't know if I've ever experienced His fullness. But I've experienced a little measure here and there. And it's a blessing. But in His presence is fullness of joy. And at His right hand are treasures forevermore. We know these things. We know those promises. We know those what we need to do. But flesh often too many times has its way. We know what happens on the contrary if a man does not abide in the vine, like I shared earlier. Sin enters in and comes out of that life in various forms. He starts waxing cold in spiritual things and drawing back. Starts to go after his or her own hobbies. Life is filled with his or her own things. Time is spent with the things that they want to do. Reaching out to minister to others has left. Relationships get strained. There comes a pursuing after monetary gain to support their own going afters, end quote. Brothers, I don't think we can afford these things. I think the price tag's too high. The loss is too great for us to be sowing these things. But we must be vitally connected to the rootstock. Abide in Jesus. Make time in the morning for quiet time. Dwell there continually. Each one of us as individuals must have a personal relationship. That's the only way to work. How is it with us? Our convictions, our life, our abiding can't just depend on somebody else. We are the responsible party. We choose what we want. And may we choose right, brothers and sisters. May we choose like we heard this morning in children's lesson. May we choose life. When a person so quickly throws everything away, as you're looking on, you wonder, how can this be? You wonder if he or she was riding on the tailgate of others. We can't do that. We can't ride on the shirt tails of others. We can't do that. These things have to be a personal reality to each one of us. We can't depend on the church. Yes, church is a blessing. We can't depend on my brothers and sisters. Yes, they're a blessing when walking in holiness and godliness. But we can't depend on those things. We have to be vitally connected to ourselves. This branch can't depend on this branch for its life. Each one has to be connected. Abiding. As Brother Zach shared this morning about receiving correction. That is the heart of God. God wants to correct us. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it. Why? So that I might bring more fruit. He wants to do that in our lives. He wants to mold and shape us. We still have some rough edges in our lives. May we let God deal with those rough edges. May we abide there. May we make that our continued dwelling place. And keep this in mind as we are abiding in the vine. Whatever I'm doing, whatever I'm saying, maybe we could put that in there too, as we heard about word and deed. Do I want the harvest of 100-fold of this thing? Do I want to reap a tremendous increase? The reality is there. May our life be a fruitful, filled with the fruit of good fruit, filled with fruit, some good fruit. That's all I have this morning. I just want to read verse 17 again. The kind of conclusion to this abiding that Jesus says, "These things I command you, that you love one another." As we're abiding, this will be a reality. As we're abiding, dwelling there, you know, a branch, we won't grow. A branch cannot grow of itself. A branch cannot grow laying on the field somewhere. A branch cannot do that. It has to be attached. There must be life coming to it. There must be some water coming to it. And so it is with us. Without me, Jesus says, we can do nothing. Amen. There's a little story here that I want to read. I may have read it before, I'm not sure. But just again, encourage us to make time for the Lord. I know we live in a busy society. We have things going. We have work to do. We have meetings to make and we have places to go and things to do and family life is busy and all that, but if you haven't, please make time for the Lord. Please dwell there. Please get your bread, be fed from Him. Read the Bible. Meditate upon His Word. Memorize His Word. The president of a large company wanted to talk to the factory's manager about an urgent matter. But the manager's secretary said, "He can't be disturbed. He's in conference, as he is every day at this time." "Well, tell him the president wants to see him."
The man responded impatiently. The secretary firmly replied, "I have strict orders, sir, not to disturb him while he is in conference." Angrily, the man brushed past the secretary, opened the door to the manager's office. After one quick look, he backed out, gently closed the door, and said, "I'm sorry." The president had found his manager on his knees in front of his open Bible. He was in conference.